and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've lived all my life for this moment. Hello, Cleveland! We love you, Cleveland! We'd like to welcome WABQ AM, AM 1460, pardon me,
yep.
In Cleveland. Hello! We have a new affiliate.
We love Cleveland.
We love you, Cleveland! Okay, I just wanted to say that. All right, and of course, Detroit, this Saturday, the Sexy Liberal Show, starring John Fugelson, Aisha Tyler, and I, comes to the Detroit Opera House. Hooray! Tickets going fast, I'm told. I was just on Tony Trupiano's show, who I love, in Detroit. And he says they're all Twitter.
Ah,
I don't even know
buzz.
I don't even know what that means. I'm all Twitter. Can I have my cheap butter commercial music, please?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, comedy royalty is gracing us today. Harry Shearer next hour, and all 3 hours, there she is, Carol Leifer.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, comedy royalty. Oh, good morning. Yes. Hello.
I'm telling you, this is what I did the promo yesterday. I'm like, what? Harry Shearer and Carol Leifer?
Yeah.
Well, it's only my pleasure to be with you guys, sitting in,
aww,
as they say.
Listen, Hal Sparks is in Scotland. This is normally Hump Days with Hal. He's in Scotland all of August, and so we've had a series of comedy royalty come in, blinky like you are, going, it is dark.
It is very dark.
I'm not up at this hour.
No, I'm so not up at this hour. But for you guys,
hey.
It's worth putting on my lights in my car to get here.
She will be live in studio with us all 3 hours.
Yes.
She is the author of If You Lie About When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win.
That's right.
It's a fantastic book.
Yes, I've loved it ever since I bought it last year.
Thank you. Finish your thought, but thanks.
For my 39th birthday.
I was invited to a certain party, so I know that you might be fibbing there a little bit.
A tiny skosh.
Yeah.
And... by the way, she also is a big animal rescue person like Mama is. In September 9th?
September 9th.
Here in L.A.?
At the Riverside Convention Center. Going to do a comedy night for the Mary S. Roberts Pet Adoption Center. So I really want everybody to come down. Go to my website, carolleifer.com, and get your tickets. Because that, you know, I love doing stand-up, but when I do stand-up for a great animal rescue organization that needs the money... I love it even more.
Yeah. You had the longest, and by longest, I mean horizontal Christmas card I've ever seen because you had, well, at that point you had how many dogs?
Our holiday Christmas card. It's me and my partner and our son and our 7 rescue dogs.
7. Yes.
It was but you see, Stephanie, they're small dogs. They're mostly chihuahuas. So together they make like one big dog.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But I was wondering when I got it, I thought, where do you get a card that horizontally long?
Well, here's the thing. We get a pet photographer who I know who comes, and everybody, because they can't get over the picture, how great it turns out. And what I always say to them is, it took 400 tries to get that one picture where all the dogs are looking forward, our son is not whacked out and looking forward, and my partner and I are looking at camera.
Yes.
So people sometimes think it's photoshopped. Even, but it's like, no, we're old school.
Because you can take a thousand, because they're doing just the wrong thing with their head. You're like, no, oh, where did you take it now? It was, look at what he just did now. You missed the moment when he put his fur in.
But, you know, we do that annually, and when we first adopted our son from Guatemala, and he was a baby, we had a very funny caption one of our years, because when he was a baby, it was the 7 rescue dogs, our son is a baby, and we had a thought bubble up from his head that said, and I thought Guatemala was crowded.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. How old is he now?
He's 5.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, having a 5-year-old.
So there's just screaming going on at your house. There's barking and screaming.
Barking and screaming.
Toddlers and,
And then there's me and my partner.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a very gay show, I just realized today.
Hey, here's the festive news. Not only, I'm sure you're watching, it's like a Saturday Night Live skit, the whole thing, the Republican side, isn't it?
Yes, it's very entertaining, them at the state fairs. I love it.
Yeah.
They can't just be at the state fair. They have to be eating something,
some corn dog
or something Americana, fried Twinkie while they're being interviewed.
Yeah. So Michelle Bachmann won, who is completely crazy, as you know.
And also has compassion for us, as I'm hearing, compassion for the gays?
Not really. Despite the fact that she's married to one. Clearly.
Oh, stop.
What?
What?
Don't you love the mainstream media, how you're not really supposed to mention how just...
Yeah. Wackadoodle.
Richard Simmons on Gay Crack Gay he is. Yeah. I mean, just...
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. Mm-hmm. They need to be disciplined.
Oh, and yesterday she screwed up and said, let's all say happy birthday to Elvis, and it was actually the day Elvis died.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
We have that.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. Here she is. Here is Bette.
Before we get started, let's all say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
Ooh.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
We played you a little bit of Promised Land when we pulled up. You can't do better than Elvis Presley, and we thought we'd celebrate his birthday.
Let's commemorate the day he keeled over and dropped dead.
Toilet.
Yeah, fell off the toilet.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, heavens. Yeah, and this was on the heels of, remember the goofier John Wayne Gacy screw-up where she thought John Wayne was born in this...
In Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah, and it was John Wayne Gacy, the serial killer.
Yeah. Different people.
Yeah. Get a new fact-checker, Michelle.
That's what we were saying. That's exactly...
You're fired.
Yeah.
That and the corn dog filleting the corn dog picture, who let her do that?
I know.
You know,
the 4-H volunteer.
I would make sure no
15.
One's around you so you can get from every angle someone can get you shoving that as deep into your throat as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Now, there's a Newsweek cover. So that's what I'm wondering. Is there a mole? Is there someone from the Obama campaign that is infiltrated? That's one of her handlers?
Could be.
Michelle, very first you want to say, it's the happy birthday to Elvis. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody has a BlackBerry with Google on it. You could just look up the
fact
check.
Yeah, that's what kills me. They're not very difficult facts.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not like the Warren Report or something.
Exactly.
Is it a lot to go? Maybe just a tiny bite of the corn dog, and maybe we could have handlers around so they don't actually get even
or,
a picture
you know
of
what?
That.
Choose something else, like a funnel cake or something. Yeah. Something that doesn't look
And try not to
phallic.
Roll your eyes back in your head like Linda Lovelace as you're shoving as much of it in there as you can.
I mean, what do you think the bigger picture is? Do you think she will be the next candidate?
No.
Confusing.
No.
It's looking less and less likely. I'm really thinking Rick Perry.
What a douche nozzle that guy is.
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention just in the last couple of days? First of all, he basically accused the Fed chairman of treason. And what does treat him real ugly down in Texas mean? One can only wonder. Let's see.
I guess we kind of got competing job tours, if you want to know the truth of the matter.
Well,
which
no,
is...
I need the Bernanke one, cut 9, okay. We were just talking about. He was talking
if this
about...
guy prints more money between now and the election, I don't know what y'all would do to him in Iowa, but we would treat him pretty ugly down in Texas.
Well, the laughter's a little disturbing,
it is.
Too.
It's very, very disturbing.
What are we talking about? Beating up, lynching the Fed chairman down in Texas? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about?
What do they do down in Texas?
Treason?
Yeah. Mm. No, that had a really ominous, scary tone, and really so not professional.
Yeah. And then it was, just yesterday that he implied that the troops don't respect Obama because he's never worn the uniform. Like, we're back to this now.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the military men and women respect the commander-in-chief. Regardless of who it is, I think they really like to see a person who's worn the uniform in that office.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that's just a true statement. And I wouldn't back up off of it an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last weekend he said that President Obama hates America.
Yeah.
And I said that's rich coming from someone who hates America so much that he wants Texas to secede from the Union.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, doesn't that sound like something you'd say on the playground? Like, you hate America.
Yeah.
You America hater person.
Oh, gosh.
Thing.
I don't want any more Texas swagger in the White House.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He is a jerk. Seriously.
Yeah.
What an asshat. I mean, it's like he's doing it on purpose, and then he's, you know, trying to make a big show of, I'm backing down. No, we don't. You don't mess with Texas. Like, I'm like, ugh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even a lot of Republicans were. He said that was over the line about Bernanke, and he's like,
because George W. Bush nominated Bernanke to the post.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Karl Rove didn't take too kindly to that.
I know. Listen, the only festive news this morning in the New York Times, Carol, crashing the Tea Party. New polls show they are less popular than atheists or Muslims now.
Really? What a surprise.
Yeah.
Given how much sway the Tea Party has among Republicans in Congress and those seeking a Republican presidential nomination, one might think the Tea Party is redefining mainstream American politics. This is what I've been talking about for months. It drives me crazy. This has been a media creation storyline, like the awesome power of the Tea Party, mm-hmm. and there's meanwhile like smatterings. There's like 20 people at some of these rallies.
Yeah.
Oy, the fact that the Tea Party is increasingly swimming against the tide of public opinion among most Americans, even before the furor of the debt limit, its brand was becoming toxic. To embrace the Tea Party carries a great political risk for Republicans, perhaps not for the reason you might think. Polls show disapproval is climbing. A New York Times CBS survey found last year, I think it was 18% of Americans unfavorable, 21% favorable. Now, 14 months later, Tea Party supporters have slipped to 20%, while their opponents have more than doubled to 40%. In data they've recently collected, though, the Tea Party ranks lower than any of the 23 other groups we asked about, lower than both Republicans and Democrats. It's even less popular than much maligned groups like quote-unquote atheists and quote-unquote Muslims. Interesting, one group that approaches it in unpopularity, the Christian right.
Wow.
Good news today.
Well, the atheists and Muslims are having a good laugh today.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All getting together.
Yep. All right, so silver lining. Ann Curley-Fer is here all 3 hours.
Awesome.
How can the
3 hours?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
You signed up for this?
She didn't know that yet. 17 minutes after the hour, 19 minutes after the hour, we continue with Curley-Fer live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Girls.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. And when I say party, I say that every day, but I'm mostly lying. But today, Curley-Fer is in
studio. That's right.
It's a party.
It's a 3-hour party.
Woo-hoo!
That's right.
Yeah. It's not a tea party. It's like a real party.
Where else can you get a party at 6:30 in the morning?
No.
They don't know. During the break, places. We're doing our disco whistles.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Having a good time.
It's like Studio 54 in here.
So, Carol, where are you politically? Did you get involved in the last campaign, and how are you feeling now?
Yeah, I am a very political person, for better or for worse. I feel like I need to take a stand about things, and I'm not shy about it. I'm probably as left as they come.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do a lot of work with Planned Parenthood and NARAL Pro-Choice America,
right.
Because
mm-hmm.
I'm very, very pro-choice and work tirelessly for that cause.
Yeah.
And, you know, for my gay causes, for obvious reasons, because
yeah.
me be gay.
Yeah.
So I work for that and marriage equality. And then, you know, my animal stuff, so my Jewish stuff.
You are pro-choice, but not for animals. You would like them to be fixed. I'm just saying.
It's spay and neuter for everyone.
I'm not pointing out hypocrisy. I'm just saying.
Everyone needs to be mindful of overpopulation. And, it's, you know, especially things like choice. You know, sadly, what I encounter along the way out in the world is people, oh, yeah, Roe v. Wade passes, so it's set in stone. Like, it ain't set in stone.
No, I mean, you have to, this is what we talk about all the time, but you really have to understand how far right this Republican Party has become.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, and these primaries are the perfect example. Huntsman and Pawlenty, they're too reasonable, they're too moderate. Rick Perry is so extreme right. I mean, every story, I mean, I was like, wait a minute, where's this chart you sent me, Chris? Hang on a second. Speaking, you brought one of the issues you just brought up. Where do today's presidential hopefuls stand on gay issues? I mean, there's a chart. I mean,
I can
Michelle
only imagine.
Bachmann would try to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I'm just looking at, like, there's most of them, it's a solid line of, you know, for or against, but let's just pick Newt Gingrich, for on different gay issues. Marriage, no. Civil union, no. Domestic partnership, no. Foreign spouse citizenship, no. Repeal of defense of marriage, no. Adoption by LGBT couples? No.
That one kills me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a personal thing with me, too.
No job discrimination. Federal civilian workers? No. Private civilian workers? No. I mean,
where do you stand
open
on
service in the military? No. Equal pay and benefits? No. On-base chapel weddings? Obviously, no. Appointment of LGBT aware judges? No. Just no.
Where do you stand on a gay picnic? No.
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 But what I found interesting in that chart is that there is one Republican that's above even President Obama on gay issues there. Did you see
Fred
that?
Fred Karger. Who is gay.
Who's gay.
Who they will not let play in any of their Ranger games.
No.
He's not invited to any of their debates.
He's from Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he's
nice.
A presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, and you haven't even heard of him
well,
because
I'm
they won't even
for
let him.
Karger.
he's Republican.
I don't get
and
that.
And that's strange, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably one of those libertarian Republicans, get the government out of all aspects of life, including marriage.
Yeah, including my bedroom, Fred.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, there is some good news, breaking news out of Wisconsin. Hi, Liz in Madison.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
Carol.
Hi.
Mook. How is everybody
Hello.
Today?
Good.
I am awesome. You know why?
Yes.
We won 2 total out of our Senate in all our recall elections, and I want to give everybody a shout out and say, yes, we can, because we are the people, and Wisconsin style showed that we can put up with so many dirty tricks.
Yeah, you had the 2 Democrats retain their seats yesterday.
We had the 2 Democrats win yesterday by an overwhelming double-digit win, and they're going to spin it as we still lost the Senate, which is ridiculous. We gained 2.
That's right.
And in my world, 2 is better than losing 2. Winning 2 is better.
That's right.
Oh, way better.
That is so hard with the math. Mm-hmm.
And Liz, tell me your feeling, because, obviously, if you looked at polling or at the 100,000 people protesting in Madison every day, there was a huge backlash against what Governor Perry was doing and, Walker. I'm sorry.
Perry on the brain.
Wrong right-wing douche nozzle. No. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying? The recalls, to me, that seemed like for him and for the Republicans were really deep-seated, whereas it seems like these Democratic ones were just stupid and payback and, oh, well, we hate you, too.
Let's look back at how those signatures for the recall were gathered. They were gathered a lot of times
with
gin. A false premise, where they were buying shots of liquor for people. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the voter ID and the redistricting that's going to happen in 2012, we are not stopping. We are going to gather our momentum. We're going to work on voters, getting them registered, and get ready for 2012. And, Scotty, we're knocking on the door. In fact, I'm going down to the Capitol today, and I'm going to have a little sign, and that's going to say Wisconsin 16. Ooh. Not Wisconsin 14, 16.
Good for you. All right.
Forward thinking.
Yahoo.
Love that. And you're involved. That's what makes it happen.
Exactly.
People get involved. Mazel to you.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Carol Leifer on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He knew Stephanie Miller
when she was in her late 40s.
No, I knew
Stephanie Miller
in the late 40s. She was 50.
That is not true. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Carol Leifer live in studio with us all 3 hours.
Good morning.
Isn't she delightful? The president is out on his, what I don't know, what is it?
It's a bus tour. It's not an official campaign tour.
No, but it is.
But it is, yeah.
He sought to turn voter anger over the economy toward Republicans in the Congress as he courted rural Americans. He announced steps to boost hiring in farm communities. He said, we could do even more if Congress is willing to get in the game, referring to job creation measures he's pushing for in free trade, payroll taxes, and road construction. The only thing that's holding us back is our politics. The only thing that's preventing us from passing the bills I just mentioned is the refusal of a faction in Congress to put country ahead of party, and that has to stop. Our economy can't afford it.
Is now the Republicans?
Well, yeah, a lot of people say, oh, he's not, taking it to the Republicans enough. I think it's pretty clear everything he says. I think that he is.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I think he's pretty clear about who's, and I think in the polling, people are pretty clear about who's stopping what.
Yeah. What's his slogan this year? I mean, last campaign, was it hope and change? Or?
Yes. I don't know. I know I've seen the Obama I'm in. For 2000, I don't think that that's his official slogan. That's like,
That needs some punching up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds dirty.
Now it should be, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, it's like when you're 5-year-old. I didn't do it.
Not me.
I didn't do it.
You know, look, I love Obama, and of course I voted for him and will vote for him again. I'll tell you, though, where, you know, I have been disappointed. I feel like, look, George Bush was a congenital idiot. That was clear, yeah. Okay? But what he did do was he was always an idiot, and he stood up for his base, and he was just there 100%. And I feel like...
He was consistently an idiot.
He was consistently an idiot. But I feel like Obama, in things like, you know, choice and gay rights, and he doesn't, I don't think he goes to the max. He doesn't stand up for his base.
She does. See, now I had no idea that there was a naysaying side to Carol Lee, for now the magic disappeared. No, I think
I'm a very complex individual.
He has accomplished, I think, more for gay rights than any president in our history. So I would have to disagree on that. Where was this graph I just showed you? This is actually very scary. Here are the fun facts. Chris, give me... Mama's, as you can tell, getting old because the graph's a little small, but let me just see what I... Let me just...
Maybe it's time to bring your reading glasses to work, Stephanie.
Well, come out for... Why won't he support marriage equality? I mean, he's
I agree with you, and he may. He's
but that's what I mean. George Bush would do something like that.
Look at this graph is all I'm saying. It's like...
No,
when you
I'm
look
not
at
saying that, he hasn't done a lot.
That host of
things
issues...
Things like that. You know he supports marriage equality.
Yeah.
And he just won't because it's, you know... It's
a solid wall.
Expedient.
Here,
you
stream, look at this. Exactly. This most Republican candidate is a solid wall of no on every single right for gay Americans. And, you know...
Herman Cain has a surprising amount of
maybes,
though.
Yeah, what's up with Crazy Pizza Guy?
Yeah.
Pizza Guy's a little doughy on gay rights.
I know.
For a Republican.
I bet
that
you that's because,
me.
You know, a lot of gays, we love pizza.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's,
but,
you know,
but not crappy Godfather's pizza.
Yeah,
ooh,
no,
that's
not that.
Awful.
Nobody likes that.
Oof.
Yeah, and Ron Paul, of course, the only one, but because, as you said, he's a...
Libertarian.
Yes.
Yeah. Get the government out of every aspect of my
at
life.
At the risk of enraging the C-word fan-loving Ron Paul fan, unelectable.
Anti-abortion.
That is very true.
I know.
And that's where he's hypocritical.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever held his feet to the fire on that? I don't get it.
Oh, on Twitter I have.
Oh.
I've been holding people's feet to the fire.
Yeah, you're in a Twitter
on Twitter?
Flame
really?
War.
Oh, people, Stephanie, you know, stepped in it on Sunday.
People,
CNN.
He means me. I had CNN on Sunday. I mentioned that he's unelectable. And wow! The Twitter sphere blew up.
Yeah.
Ron Paul fan's a big fan of the C word as well.
Yep.
Who knew?
And they're atrocious spellers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Chris's Twitter feed blows up, and then he goes,
oh
now
God,
what
what's she say now?
This stupid bitch. It's the weekend. What? All right, the president on the...
You meet your obligations. Well, it's time Washington acted as responsibly as you do every single day.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's the thing, is they're not going to do anything that helps the country because it will help Obama. And that's the problem. I mean, that's the kind of wall of obstructionism he's been up against.
Mm-hmm.
The president.
The only thing that's preventing us from passing the bills I just mentioned is the refusal of a faction in Congress to put country ahead of party. And that has to stop. Our economy cannot afford it.
You said it.
Well, yeah. That's why I was saying, how is that not? I mean, you know what faction he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's come out and certainly by name in the past as well and talked about Republicans. President.
We're going to do more to speed the development of next generation biofuels. And we're going to promote renewable energy and conservation.
I'm sorry, Carol, what you were going to say?
No, I was just saying, I mean, the guy is clearly so beleaguered. I mean, what cracks me up is, I mean, you know, within the span of 3 days, he's gotten grayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
It's like time-lapse photography.
God,
what the hell?
It's like maybe a little Just for Men might not be a bad idea. It just is like the stress of this job and what he's up against takes its toll.
Yeah. By the by, I'm melding all the topics we've been talking about just to play compare and contrast. Newt Gingrich suggests same-sex marriage is responsible for the economy,
what?
For economic woes.
How?
Yeah, why is that?
Funny you should ask.
Does he explain?
How does that make sense with the catering and the flowers and everything that
renting
goes along?
Renting of the halls and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, take your organ out for me, please.
Right.
He was on that one of them, their Catholic radio.
Of course he was.
Shows. Responding to a question about the connection between secular attacks on the family and economic stagnation, Gingrich argued that freedom of faith, which he argued is being undermined by the push for marriage equality, is directly related to free enterprise. He said, so there's core absolute overlap between free enterprise, freedom, and freedom of faith. And if you don't have freedom of faith, who doesn't have freedom of faith in America?
Everybody has freedom of faith.
Really. Okay. In the end, you're not going to have free enterprise because there's no moral force that defends and protects you. So, there. So, there.
That's some kind of a lot of words.
So,
that didn't really...
what?
Yeah.
No wonder he's in last place.
Frankly, no wonder no one works for him anymore.
Yeah.
All right, the president again.
There's nothing wrong with this country. We'll get through this moment of challenge.
Who the hell wants this job, frankly? Wouldn't it be hard to be positive being up against what he's up against every day? I don't know.
No, it's not an easy job.
We could do even more if Congress is willing to get in the game.
Eugene Robinson, I love you. Read him in Washington Post.
No, I don't.
Love him. He says, Chris, the headline is the straw poll winner in Iowa, Barack Obama. He always has an interesting take. He says, strolling through the pageant of unhealthful food and unsigned ideology that is the Iowa straw poll.
Yeah.
It's wacky food and wacky ideas. That's what it is. Amid the good-natured Republicans who swept Michelle Bachmann to an impressive victory, I couldn't help but reflect this quadrennial exercise is a crazy way to pick a major party candidate for president. I mean, yeah, can you believe Tim Pawlenty? I mean, if you're for him against him, he's out already. Because of the crazy parade that's Iowa. You'll note I use the word Michelle Bachmann and president in the same sentence, that someone with views as extreme as Bachmann's could win, and that Ron Paul, who seems to inhabit his own little reality, could finish second, would seem to rob the straw poll of all but comic value, making it analogous to the opening joke a speaker might tell to warm up a stone-faced audience. It's true. There was some pundit, I don't know who it was, Chris, but very enjoyable, went off on TV. Why are we pretending she's not a joke? She's a joke. Her candidacy is a joke.
I think that was
it's like when
Chris Matthews.
Snap.
I think that was Chris Matthews, as a matter of fact.
I don't know. Despite not competing in the straw poll, Perry got more votes than Mitt Romney, which is true. Who also did not participate, but has spent months establishing himself as the front runner for the Republican nomination. Perhaps Romney still holds that distinction, but things just got a lot more complicated. The emergence of Bachmann and Perry as Romney's chief rivals has shifted the GOP contest sharply to the right, which is what I said. They're veering into right-wing crazy town.
Yeah.
This may fire up the Republican base, but it may also turn off independents who have made clear their distaste for uncompromising partisanship. The Republican establishment, or what's left of this, is nervous about this dynamic. You've already seen the Bush people turning on Perry, which, by the way, David Bender had a conspiracy theory. Are you ready for this, Chris?
Sure.
He says, that's not the one I'm missing. He says, conspiracy theory.
Yes.
He says that maybe... See, they walk a hand. Oh, okay. They want Romney to win the nomination because he'll lose because they're all in this for Jeb Bush next time.
Oh, my
but
God.
See, if Perry gets in and Perry wins, then...
Thinking that far ahead.
Yeah, because apparently the Bush people hate the Perry people and vice versa. This is getting good.
So that's why Karl Rove was talking smack about Rick Perry.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just throwing out.
It makes sense.
But Mitt Romney just can't get any traction with people.
I know. I know. Well, I love Chris Matthews' analogy on that. He's like, it's like the dog food. They keep remarketing, repackaging. Dog doesn't want it. They don't like it. The Republican establishment, anyway, nervous. Well, we were just saying the establishment isn't running the party anymore. The 16,800-whatever Iowans who voted in the straw poll certainly didn't intend to brighten Obama's prospects of reelection, but that's what they just might have accomplished. Eugene Robinson, Washington Post.
Yeah.
I guess we should be glad, right? Like, the farther and farther they go to the right, I mean, the more, the better for Obama.
The better it is.
Yeah.
All I know is I got a solicitation call for Obama. And I know that, you know, when these people call, I just am very upfront. And I say, look, I'm voting for him.
Yeah.
And I'll give him money, but I'm not giving, you can't call my house. Please don't call my house.
Yes.
I'll give him money, but don't call my house.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Don't you away from my house.
Don't you love the robocalls during, closer to the election?
Yeah.
Really? Really? Jerry Brown's calling. Oh, hi, Jerry. Oh, you're not real. Okay, you're just a recording.
Yeah, that's when I unplug my phone. Because, you get like four or five of them a night.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Hello, Stephanie. And I know, by the way, no one's ever that happy to talk to me.
Yeah.
So I know right away it's not real.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with more with Carol Leifer live in studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Carol Leifer live in studio.
You have black streaks all over your face.
You know, why didn't you say something to me? My pen burst. I looked like I drew a Hitler mustache on myself.
Yes.
And everyone was laughing at me on Ustream, and you two didn't say anything. I probably had a booger, too, you bastard people. All right. Damn Ustream. In my day, that was the point of radio, is you couldn't see me. Tony in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie, it's Tony. You know me.
Yes, I do.
I was just... I moved, so I'm in Long Beach now.
Okay.
But
you're tricky.
I was calling to say that the one thing I like to say to gay people everywhere is that just like being a black woman, we learn at an early age there are going to be people that just don't like you.
Right.
Okay, in the gay community, there are going to be people that they don't like you. They don't like your lifestyle. It's just
right.
a fact.
Right.
It's not a la-la thing.
Well, there's so many other reasons not to like me, so I understand whatever you're saying.
No, you know I love you. Yeah. But the thing is, with your rights, it's about going for your legal, civil rights. Keep everything legal because that's just it. If you go for the moral issue, you're going to lose every time because there are always going to be people that don't think that way. But you're legal, just like with me being a black person. There are going to be people that just don't like me ever.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to respect my rights. And that is the key argument, and that is the key thing that you go for. And don't get me wrong, I don't agree with everything President Obama does, but when you look at the overall, don't ask, don't tell goes a hell of a long way, you know, and affects a lot of people and made a big difference, whereas gay marriage, I think, is going to happen anyway. You're going to have to do the work, get out, fight, make it happen, just like everything we got.
You know, Tony, somebody made a good point about, because Governor Perry, like, here's where they are, Carol, on the right, like, they have to straddle the, you know, their four states' rights, but that made him sound like he might not be homophobic enough. He's like, I'm going to go, don't get me wrong, I hate gay people just as much as you do, but, you know, I'm for states' rights. But, you know, Damien in Harrisburg wrote me, hey, Governor Perry, what if Lincoln had said in the 1860s, let the states decide on slavery? What if LBJ had said in the 1960s, let the states decide on civil rights?
Well, that was the problem before the Civil War. The states were deciding on slavery, and we just couldn't let that happen.
That's where the ones in the South stood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That Mason-Dixon line, the whole thing, that's where that came from.
Yep.
You know, Missouri, where I'm normally from, was a slave state. You know, you look at all of it, but that's just it. Still, it comes back to the people getting out there fighting. You know, what can a man do? For God's sake, my thing is, how much, you know, it's just almost like Michael Jordan, too. He's got to be Michael Jordan. He can't be Larry Bird, you know, just do a couple three-pointers.
Well, look at this pledge.
He's got to be Michael Jordan all the time.
I mean, look at this pledge that a lot of these Republicans signed that basically said, you know, what did it say? Blacks were better off under slavery. Black children did better under slavery than they did under they're doing under the first black president.
And, definitely. And it's like any little thing that they can use. The bottom line, we're all better off right now than if Sarah Palin was in there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. Okay. All you got to do is look at what. Let's just be real. Let's put all your personal stuff aside. We all got our passions. Okay. Let's be real and just realistic and look at what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like I said, the bottom line, you just got to fight for what you want. You can't sit back and wait for President Obama to do a backwards dunk behind his head blindfolded, okay? Which that's what
Tony, I
like
love you in such a—we have such a—I love you in an interracial and yet totally non-gay way. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
The heat of 1,000 white-hot suns. Thank you, Tony.
You know, and here's—I'm back.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's what I think is great about the gay marriage thing. I mean, it's going to happen just because the younger generation,
yes,
they don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They get it, and it's going to move in that direction. I mean, actually, in terms of choice, I feel the opposite happens because when I go out and I see, you know, across the country, younger women don't realize what the world was like when abortion was illegal,
yeah,
because it wasn't in their
yeah,
lifetime.
Yeah, we're essentially cranky old feminists now. That's, you don't understand, you girls. But Aunt Carol and I had to go through it today.
Exactly. But so it's very different.
Yeah. Landscapes. Speaking of nostalgia, these right-wing Republicans, the latest Rick Santorum, very nostalgic about the time of our founding fathers. Our freedom is less whole than it was at the time of our founders. He would like to go back to the late 1700s.
Yeah.
He said, does anyone here believe that the first inalienable right is as whole as it was at the time of our founding? It isn't. Does anyone believe that our freedom is as whole as it was at the time of our founders? It is not. Well, for instance, our last caller would not have been calling because she would have been a slave.
That's right. Yeah, she would have been in
chains. She would have been just a scotchless free. Women, I would not only not have a radio show, I wouldn't be able to vote. She recalled the 19th Amendment.
Right.
Not ratified
until
1920.
They're also in love with that time. Yeah. No, I think men wearing powdered wigs, I miss that time.
Yeah, I miss that.
I like my man in a nice wig.
Yeah, Stephanie, you would have been baking pies and
yes,
spitting out babies.
Yeah. And I would not have been good at either.
I'm sewing a flag today.
Yeah.
What kind of flag can I make you?
I mean, do they not get how offensive, seriously, that is just to black people? Just like, oh, we were more free at the time. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Not all of us.
No, it was a great time, 1700s. Life expectancy of 25.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
I have to leave now and churn some butter.
Can Carolee Fields do all 3 hours? No.
No, she has to churn butter.
Yes. And then she's baking bread today.
I'll tell you
and
that. She's very good for the triceps, though.
She's cleaning her husband's clothes on a rock in a stream.
Churning butter, it's better than Pilates.
Because she has to do it because they don't own enough black people.
Those silk knickers. Cleaning them on that rock. Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
With the tobacco stains on them.
At times I have to tell you, stop spitting tobacco, for God's sakes. That's my whole
in this
morning.
In the spittoon, I say. Does he listen? No.
No. All right. Hey, here's a, you know what? I should wait for Jim to quote Paul Krugman, because I just when he writes a piece that's not bashing the president, I'm happy. More about the Texas Unmiracle. Thank you. I was talking, you know, they keep saying Rick Perry, the Texas Miracle. There's no miracle. They're number one in friggin' minimum wage jobs. He's last in education in Texas. He's tripled the debt. He only balanced his budget last year with stimulus money. Anyway.
Which he said was socialism.
Yeah. Paul Krugman posts a helpful graph. He says this graph should to the notion that Texas somehow escaped the recession or that there was something miraculous about its job creation once you take account of the population growth. Nothing special happened. Thank you, Paul Krugman. They're about halfway through the pack in unemployment. They're not. There's no Texas miracle. Harumph. All right. Yeah, and I love that. So Rick Perry yesterday, he likes to straddle a haystack in a manly, you know, looks like he's about to, you know, the haystack in a really manly way.
Yeah.
And I guess we kind of got competing job tours, if you want to know the truth of the matter, which is fine. I really believe that we can create jobs in America again.
Yes, and you get a minimum wage job, and you get a minimum wage job under President Perry. 58 minutes after the hour, Harry Shearer joins us next. Carol Leifer live in studio all 3 hours as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Jim, you missed it. I just drew a Hitler mustache on myself last hour. Folks on Ustream enjoyed it.
Look, it's on TV. Yeah. Just as you said that.
You know what? That exploding pen, I think, was a Ron Paul prop. Some Ron Paul fan planted that pen in my bag. Comedy Exploding Pen. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the regular website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, this is very important. There's the Detroit Saturday for Sexy Liberal. The venue has set up a party pack. Use the code LEFTY. They're calling it the Liberal Friends Offer. It's four tickets. You bring three friends. You get your ticket free. Oh, boy. That's exciting.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of comedy royalty, Carol Leifer live in studio all 3 hours
good
with us.
Good morning.
She will be at the Riverside Convention Center September 9th here in Los Angeles, 7 p.m. for a benefit for Mary Roberts Pet Adoption Centers.
Mm-hmm. Come on down for a good show and for a good cause.
CarolLeifer.com, and she's just delightful. Listen to her.
Love the animals. Adopt, don't shop.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Pardon me, I'm coughing up a lung. Hey, Jim.
That's why you have two.
Thank you. In anticipation of our... Harry Shearer will be calling in a couple minutes of our Tom Brokaw off. You could announce that Carol Leifer is here.
Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News, noted liberal activist Carol Leifer.
Here I am.
Live.
Okay. All right, good.
And you know, I have noticed in the little over an hour I've been here.
Yes.
You are walking on sunshine.
I really am.
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's not just a song.
No.
It's a fact.
It's a lifestyle. Thanks so much. Okay.
I want to hear about your show.
What show?
Well, your Sexy Liberal Show.
Oh, why, Carol Leifer, thanks for asking. Now, look at how easily they become just an infomercial sidekick.
When is it coming to L.A.? When can I see it here?
That's funny you should ask. October 21st and October 22nd at the Wadsworth Theater.
Ooh.
Saturday sold out a long time ago, but Friday there's a very few
but
tickets
I know
left.
People.
Yes.
Okay.
You know me.
And then what happens in the show? Tell me about how is it blocked out? How's it go? What am I going to see?
All right, Carol Leifer. Here's the deal. I believe in L.A. will be John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and I. John does stand-up. Hal does stand-up. I do some drunken ramblings that I've written on a Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin.
I was hoping that.
Yes.
Okay.
I do audience Q&A, and
nice.
Then we bring everybody back up, and we do panel. And
oh,
it's topical,
fantastic.
And it's local, and it's hilarious, and there's live sex acts and full frontal nudity.
Wow.
And, yes,
well, I'm looking forward to my comps.
What did we just say in L.A.? Everyone expects the freebies in L.A.
I'm
nobody
forward
pay
to my front
for
row
a show
call.
In L.A.? What?
Nice.
All right. Thank you, honey. Chris, can I have the fun facts? This is, not a shock to me. Jim, in the New York Times, crashing the Tea Party is the... Tea Party support ranks lower than any of the other 23 groups they polled about. They are more unpopular than atheists and Muslims.
And atheist Muslims.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought some interesting facts. Our analysis casts doubts on the Tea Party's origin story. I've been saying this. I've been calling bull on this thing for years now. Our analysis cast doubt on their origin story. Early on, Tea Parties were often described as nonpartisan political neophytes. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
It's just organically in a grassroots kind of way it came together. Actually, the Tea Party supporters today were highly partisan Republicans. What? Long before the Tea Party was born, were more likely than others to have contacted government officials. In fact, past Republican affiliation, the single strongest predicator of Tea Party support today. I said this a long time ago, New York Times. All right, I'll get to all the rest of that.
Yeah.
In just
short
a bit.
Version, they're a bunch of nuts. Wing
Thank
nuts.
You. Yes. They like to wear bags
and
on hats right
Dick
above
Army
their
was
face.
In charge early on.
Yes.
So they're an army of Dick.
They have always been an army of Dick. All right. Can I have my Chief Butter commercial music again? Because as if it could get any more comedically royal around here. Why, not just Carol Leifer, but Harry Shearer is in the house. Good morning, Harry Shearer.
Good morning. I'm in another house, but I'm connected to you telephonically.
Yes. Thank you for that distinction. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So,
hi, Harry. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, let's just ignore Stephanie and talk to each other.
Oh, I was just going to be over here doing my own thing. Harry, you know, it's interesting. Everybody I talk to, comedians that come from places like you do, like Saturday Night Live, this Republican primary, it's hard to tell what's like a sketch and what's real, isn't it?
Well, you know, to me, first of all, it wasn't a primary. That was a straw poll. And
right.
If you build your polls out of straw, what do you expect?
Exactly. It's like a house made of sand.
I just couldn't believe the spectacle. And I was overseas, but I was watching it from afar, of this whole squadron, this platoon, this brigade of political reporters descending on this small town in Iowa and saying in one breath, the Iowa straw poll will tell us everything we need to know, and in the next breath saying, but it doesn't really mean anything, and it doesn't predict the future, and it has nothing to do with who will win the caucuses. So forget about it, but look at that person eating the thing on the stick.
Yes, yes. Look at the pornographic pictures.
I mean, it was just the most bizarre spectacle. It means nothing. She got 4,000 votes. She gave away 3,000 tickets.
Now, speaking of sketches, your good friend Christopher Guest, I mean, don't you look at the Bachmans and go, all right, did they steal the idea? Did they steal the idea for Waiting for Guffman, or did Christopher Guest steal it from them? I can't.
It's just a darn good marriage, Stephanie. Don't be so jealous. Don't let the envy cripple you. But
didn't you at first go, he picks out her pantsuits? Where have I heard that? Oh, I know. Waiting for Guffman.
I'll tell you what. He gets a lot of criticism for his pray away the gay business. But I suspect, looking at Rick Perry, that he's figured out that he can spray away the gay.
God, this guy, seriously, what a douche nozzle. Just in the last couple of days, he's suggesting, what, that Ben Bernanke is treasonous and should be, what, beaten to death in Texas?
I think they capital punishment for treason, don't they?
Yeah, I guess that's what he means by treat him pretty ugly. Or maybe he means execute an innocent man. Maybe that's what he means, as he's done that before as well.
Yeah, treat him pretty ugly in Texas. Or maybe just eat the food there. No, come on now. Great food in Texas.
Yeah. But what do you think of this guy? I mean, and then he comes out and basically implies, you know, that the troops don't respect the president because he hasn't served. I mean, it is amazing how they flip-flop in every erection. Pardon me. I'm looking at a corn dog picture right now.
Yeah.
But they flip-flop on whether military service is, you know, I mean, of course, they couldn't have been less respectful of John Kerry's, and then, you know, suddenly when John McCain ran, it was essential.
Rick Perry's big funder, Harold Simmons, was a major contributor to the Swift Boats for Truth campaign.
Right.
It ain't far. That acorn ain't far from that tree.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think's going to happen, though? Between
Mitt Romney
and
will be the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is all,
really?
You know, fun and games, but when the Republican Party always nominates the next guy in line, and he's the next guy in line.
Yeah,
but don't
well,
you think he's true. Just not getting any real traction with the public?
This is not traction. This is all media BS.
Yeah.
This is all media BS. That's what I mean. They you know, if you followed the media, you would think Michelle Bachmann is going to be the Republican nominee, just like Pat Robertson was the Republican nominee when he won Iowa. You know, it means nothing.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, I was on CNN Sunday, and I was like, why are we pretending this really matters? The person that never wins the election that wins the Iowa straw poll.
It's a thrill for the people in Iowa to get all this media attention. It's a thrill for the media because they get to pretend at a time of year when nothing is happening that something important is going on, so please give us some FaceTime on the tube. And the rest of us really shouldn't care.
Yeah.
It's great for the deep-fried butter industry.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the big uneasy because we've talked about this before, but it's coming to cable, iTunes, Amazon on Tuesday, August 16th. The biguneasy.com. You can find out select screenings, etc. But tell us about the film and why did you decide to do this? You basically say the media missed the big story there.
Yes, and and by the media, I mean not just ABC, NBC, and CBS, but also NPR.
Right.
The story was that it wasn't a natural disaster that almost destroyed New Orleans. It was an engineering disaster, in the words of one of the two independent investigations that was conducted into the flood, the greatest man-made engineering catastrophe since Chernobyl, mm-hmm. which is the big leagues. And so the film focuses on the leaders of those two investigations and how they came to ask questions and then the questions they asked and what they found. And then the third person in the film is a whistleblower, very brave woman, lives in Los Angeles, from inside she works in the Corps of Engineers, and she was responsible for supervising the testing and installation of the pumps that are at the heart of the new improved system we've just paid $8 billion to install since Katrina. And she says the pumps never passed the tests, even when the testing standards were lowered over and over again. Stephanie, that may remind you of your college days.
Harry the Wheels Shearer.
Nonetheless, they were installed, and she says they will not work in a hurricane situation. And what has happened since the film is that one of the investigators, Dr. Ivor van Heerden from LSU, was fired for standing up and telling the truth about all of this as a result of his investigation. And the American Association of University Professors did a two-year investigation into his firing and said, yes, he was fired in retaliation for criticizing the Army Corps of Engineers, and his academic freedom was violated. And the Corps has just let out a contract for new pumps to replace those defective pumps, and the General Accountability Office in Congress just rejected that contract, saying it was with a crony who had been in the Corps until he retired to become a contractor, and the Corps spent less than 5 minutes evaluating his technical ability to make pumps that would work.
Mm. Well, Harry,
that's less than the O.J. jury took, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I think the important, you know, important lesson here, as you say, is that this could happen in other cities across the U.S. unless, you know, we learn these lessons.
Well, it could happen in Sacramento. It's got a bullseye on its back right now because mm-hmm. it has a defective levee system and it has a record snow melt coming at it. And if something happens to Sacramento, L.A. will be buying water from somewhere else.
Yikes, it's a Jack Nicholson movie. All right. I don't even know which one I'm talking about. Faye Dunaway, something. All right. Harry Shearer, it is time, as you know, for our Tom Brokaw off with you and Jim Ward before you go.
I'm struggling to find enough words with the letter L, but it's fortunate we have noted Laughmeister Carol Leifer here in the studio for all 3 hours.
A rocket L-1011 jetliner crashed right over Baton Rouge, Louisiana, killing all 111 people on board. But the Treasury Department has no policy regarding illegal aerials.
So said Paul McGaugh.
All right. Thank you, Harry Shearer.
The big I'll be in Chicago at the Lollapalooza concert this week.
Fabulous. TheBigUneasy.com. Harry Shearer, always a pleasure. Talk to you soon, honey.
Thanks, Stephanie. Bye, Carol.
Bye.
Of course, now the Gulf is full of Corexit, so the next hurricane may be even more fun.
Awesome.
Than Katrina.
20 minutes after the hour, right back. More Carol Leifer live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Carol Leifer, comedian extraordinaire.
Hello. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. You know, Carol, when you lie about your age, the terrorists win. That's Carol Leifer's book, carolleifer.com, for all things Carol Leifer.
Yeah, yeah. Come see me. Come see me live.
Yes, exactly. She has a
Riverside.
She gives and she gives.
I give till it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
September 9th, 7 p.m., Riverside Convention Center for the Mary Roberts Pet Adoption Centers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a great event.
Yes.
The animals. Love the animals.
I have two rescues from Gentle Giants Rescue.
Oh,
two
how
great
great.
Pyrenees. Max and Fred, Mom.
Oh, you got
handsome,
big dogs.
Romantic man, yes.
Big, big, big dogs.
Yes. Do you have a dog voice, or am I just that big a freak?
Of course, we all have our dog voice. Jenna, do you sleep with your dogs?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
Right? And now do you go to a chiropractor as a result?
No.
Sleeping with your dog?
No.
Oh, really?
But actually, I won't, like, that's the last, that's the only rule is not to move them. They cannot be moved in any way.
No, they cannot.
So if I have to sleep on this tiny corner of the bed, that's what happens then.
Right.
Yes.
The funny thing is, you know, our son just knows us having six dogs. So apparently he had a play date recently with a couple who were very proud to say that they had two rescue dogs.
Right.
And he went over there, and apparently he went, like, where's your other dogs?
just one?
Two?
How selfish.
Yeah. What's going on here?
What's going on? All right, Chris, the fun facts on the, I don't know why, I'm just very happy about the, you know, Jim, anything that confirms that what we already know is that I'm always right about the Tea Party. It's a whole lot of nothing. There's support less for the Tea Party in this recent polling than for other much maligned groups, as the New York Times says, like atheists and Muslims. But it's just calls bull on the whole Tea Party story, which we've been doing here for months and years. Seems longer because we're drunk. well, what's more, contrary to some accounts, Tea Party is not a creature of the Great Recession. Many Americans have suffered in the last 4 years, but they're no more likely than anyone else to support the Tea Party. And while the public image of the Tea Party focuses on a desire to shrink government, concern over big government is hardly the only or even the most important predicator of Tea Party support among voters. What do Tea Partiers have in common? They're overwhelmingly white. We never noticed that, have we, Joe?
Yeah.
No.
And, of course, it's not racist when they put pictures up of Obama with a bone through his nose.
Yes, and watermelons on the White House lawn. And
No, how could you possibly draw that conclusion?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But even compared to other white Republicans, they had low regard for immigrants and blacks long before President Obama
and
was president.
And you're the real
and
racist for pointing it out.
Yes. See, that's what Jim, you and I... Because we are, we're so good at sussing out the subtleties, that's what we said. You know, it seems that there's a little bit of a whiff of racism in the Tea Party.
Why the white hoods? Oh. Is that really?
Hmm. The KKK came out above the Tea Party. Ironic.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Tea Party can't spell KKK from what I hear.
No. More important, they were disproportionately social conservatives in 2006, opposing abortion, for example, and still are today. Next to being a... I love this whole... this is what we were saying, the myth of the whole, they're just these grassroots kind of regular American... No, they are
supported
extreme
by the
far-right, racist Republicans, you know, that are... well, we'll get to the main part. That are basically the religious right. It's another version of the moral majority, folks. I'll be back with the rest of this, but it's really, really interesting in why Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann are leading the pack right now in the Republican Party. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more with Carol Leifer on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you sure?
Stephanie Miller.
You're really ready?
Yes, yes. I'm ready to quit drinking.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, thank God.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, my house husband, David Bender, came and stayed last night, and he said he's not drinking anymore. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I so don't support that really in any way, but okay.
Whatever. More for me.
Okay, good.
Why isn't he drinking anymore?
I think he's just taking a pause. That's different. Oh. You know how that is.
Yeah, I did that for 6 months.
Yeah, it's just a pause. You just hit pause for a second. Just, you know. All right. Let me just finish up fun facts, Carol Leifer. On the Tea Party, because you work for many of these causes.
I work for many of them tirelessly.
Well, by that I mean all the things that the Tea Party is for. You are against
right. What
and
the
spend
Tea Party
your life.
Is? Yeah, 180.
Yes. This is all new polling information done by the New York Times. More important, they were disproportionately social conservatives in 2006, opposing abortion, for example, still are today. Next to being a Republican, the strongest predicator of being a Tea Party supporter was a desire back in 2006 to see religion play a prominent role in politics. You see, it's the moral majority times 10, Jim, on crack.
Can I just stop you for 1 second?
Yes.
About my favorite quote about abortion from...
Yes.
Gloria Steinem.
Yes.
That if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That Tea Party.
Yeah.
We would have a zipper installed. So, okay, out you go. Out of the pool. Time's up.
The zipper method. Interesting.
And Tea Partiers continue to hold these views. They seek deeply religious elected officials. Oy. Approve of religious leaders engaging in politics and what religion brought into political debates. The Tea Party's generals may say their overriding concern is smaller government, but not their rank and file, who are more concerned about putting God in government. Ah, this and thus, Rick Perry's prayerpalooza.
You can't spell government without God. Well, you kind of can, but that's not my point.
Prayerpalooza.
The inclination among the Tea Party faithful to mix religion and politics explain their support for Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry. Their appeal to Tea Partiers lies less in what they say about the budget or taxes and more in their overt use of religious language and imagery, including
that's
Ms.
Right.
Bachmann's lengthy prayers at campaign stops.
Making sure we support Israel.
I enjoy her. Well, here's why we enjoy being the mother of both a toddler and dogs. You'll recognize this tone of voice is the way she talks to God.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
Yeah. Get it.
Oh.
Good little Jehovah God.
A little creepy. It's a little phone sexy, isn't it?
Who wants to
phone sex with God?
Feel a little unclean. But that's what kills me, too. Can I just stop
yes.
as a Jew?
Yes.
It's like bringing religion, it's but it's like a specific religion.
Yes.
Your religion.
Yes, that's why it's creepy.
Yeah.
I mean,
chutzpah.
Thank you.
Chutzpah.
It does take chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Let me just finish quickly. Okay.
To your life, lechayim.
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 You know what? That's the thing. It's Michelle, get the Gentiles leave out the phlegm. Get the phlegm in there, yeah. And
then
you'll start
that,
to speak some Yiddish.
She has that name sound in her name, Bachmann.
And Michelle Bachmann. See, one of my relatives would be like, I heard Michelle Bachmann is a little Jewish somewhere. Her second cousin on a mother's side, I heard.
All right. Well, it is precisely this infusion of religion into politics that most Americans increasingly oppose. Yay!
Yeah.
While over the last 5 years, Americans have become slightly more conservative economically, they've swung even further in opposition to mingling religion and politics. It thus makes sense the Tea Party ranks alongside the Christian right in unpopularity on everything but the size of government. Tea Party supporters are increasingly out of step with most Americans, even many Republicans. That's what I've been saying forever.
Right, and they
indeed
hearken back to the 1700s. Oh, ironically, when we instituted the separation of church and
yes.
state. So
yes.
which is it going to be?
Exactly. Indeed, at the opposite end of the ideal, this is the really good news for us, at the opposite end of the ideological spectrum, today's Tea Party parallels the anti-Vietnam War movement, which rallied behind George McGovern in 1972. The McGovernite activists brought energy, but also stridency to the Democratic Party, repelling moderate voters and damaging the Democratic brand for a generation. By embracing the Tea Party, Republicans risk repeating history. Yay! So we should say yay for Michelle Bachmann. I say Bachmann-Perry overdrive. Let's
Yay!
Go. Let's go.
Bachmann-Perry overdrive.
Let's go.
Taking care of no business every day.
Yeah. Governor
Rick I've got a migraine every day.
Every day.
I guess we kind of got competing job tours, if you want to know the truth of the matter,
yeah.
which is fine. I really believe that we can create jobs
That's
in America
right,
again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially we get government money from Obama.
Yeah, to create more minimum wage jobs.
Yeah, but we also got to support Israel as soon as we get rid of all the Jews.
Have you noticed they don't put enough syllables in
yeah.
some words, and
yeah.
too many in others, like Yahoos and Jahizas.
Yeah, if you could fit three or four syllables into the word Jew, you know
yeah.
you're in a bad...
Yeah, you're just in a bad...
Run!
I also love the use of, you know, haven't worn the uniform. I mean, maybe that could be a Ramada in valet
sure,
uniform.
Sure,
sure. Does it have to be that uniform?
You can wear the lederhosen you wore at Busch Gardens, Chris. It could be any sort of uniform. All right. Rick Perry again.
Mr. President, you've tried now for 2.5 years of government creating jobs.
Which you took.
And it's
yes.
time to let the private sector
uh-huh.
get back
Hypocrite.
To work. That's the real way to create jobs
That's right.
in America.
Private sector. You're creating jobs right and left. Look what I have here in Texas. You want a minimum wage job, you can get one in Texas.
Yeah. By the way, you know how many of those are state jobs and oil company jobs and minimum wage jobs?
Right.
I mean, it's you know, and they're still only about halfway through the pack in the country in terms of unemployment. We had a caller the other day. They're like, well, it's going to be bad news for you because the unemployment's like 2% in Texas. And it's like, no.
8.2. you got one
like,
of the dudes right.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Rick Perry.
It's time for us to quit spending all the money
That's right.
that we don't even have. I mean, stop printing the money.
Yeah, just stop printing money. Then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
By the Federal Reserve doesn't do that, by the way. That's the Treasury.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a great Paul Magala quote on Rick Perry. Paul Magala says, I first met Rick Perry in 1985. He was a Democratic freshman state rep straight off the ranch in Haskell, Texas. He wore his jeans so tight and adjusted himself so often that my fellow young legislative aides and I used to call him Crotch. And you saw that on display in Iowa. He's standing on the hay bale with his legs stuck out like the
Crotch in 12
thing.
Check
it out. Look at the package. W ain't got nothing on this, baby. Come on.
Ugh. Yeah, we were saying another arrogant governor of Texas that think God wants him to be president.
Right.
Just you're like, oh, God, I'm having an acid flashback. Okay, and this is the inflammatory thing he said that everyone was talking about Ben Bernanke, the Fed chairman.
Does this guy print more money between now and the election? I don't know what y'all would do to him in Iowa, but we would treat him pretty ugly.
Get a rope. Get a rope. Hey, Bernanke's a G name, isn't it? This here sauce is made in New York City. Get a rope.
In New York City. Yeah, that's...
Wow,
was it me or was the most disturbing thing that laughter?
It's like that
laughter that, like, you know, white racists have after an N-word
joke.
We're
going to treat them pretty rough.
That was deliverance laughter. It was. Speaking of...
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got pretty mouth.
Ben Bernanke sure do got pretty mouth.
That's not comedy club laughing.
No. So even the former, I love this. Have you seen this fight starting, Jim? The Bush people hate Rick Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Former Bush aides slam Perry's Bernanke comments. Inappropriate, unpresidential, too cowboy. Former aides George Bush suggesting Rick Perry not present presidential material in the wake of his comments yesterday. So this isn't just Democrats. This was across the range.
Too cowboy for them.
Yeah, too cowboy for the Bush people. Former Bush Press Secretary Tony Fratto said on Twitter they were inappropriate, unpresidential. Nicole Wallace, used to be Bush's communications person, said someone who wants to be the next president should not use those words. Republicans should lay off some of the personal stuff and keep it ideological. Karl Rove said Perry's comments were very unfortunate and unpresidential. Peter Wenner, was assistant to, who cares? He called the comments irresponsible and libel and urged Perry to apologize, which... And this is the thing, Beth with his swagger again, where he never apologizes, never backs down, never admits a mistake, just like George Bush.
That's right.
But here's the history of this. Bush and Perry supporters have clashed before. As many Bush aides supported Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, her failed bid to oust him in the primary. So this seems to confirm a growing rift between those two camps. Perry is too cowboy for even Bush loyalists, as Rove has suggested. He's taking cowboy politics to new heights.
But how are you going to be president if you suggest lynching the head of the Federal Reserve? That seems like you might...
Yeah. That seems almost as in politics as suggesting secession, doesn't it? It seems almost as extreme. And
I mean, whoever they're dissatisfied with, it becomes about, you know, taking them out back.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. Well, I mean, I told
you. Mature.
Jim, I told you Bender's conspiracy theory is that because they want, this is all about Jeb, that the Bush people want Jeb and that they feel if Perry gets in, he would not, that would, but I guess they must feel like Romney's going to lose, so they're hoping for, I don't know.
I really did not understand Harry Shearer saying, I really don't think Mitt Romney is going to be the...
Oh, I think he might. I think at this point, I think it is between Rick Perry and Romney, and I think it depends on how extreme, how captive they really are to the Tea Party,
Party. Rick Perry before Mitt Romney. He's just, you know, just... Nothing. I mean,
yes, he's clip art.
He's human clip art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have better hair. It's going to be a hair off. Just you wait.
So I didn't really know all this history that I guess George Bush and Rick Perry, despite what they say, they've always hated each other. So in the early stages of his campaign, Rick Perry already fighting off comparisons to George Bush. Headlines already out there. Is Rick Perry too George W. Bushy? Is America ready for George W. Bush on steroids? Attempting to distance himself from the unpopular Bush, Perry said yesterday, our records are quite different. I went to Texas A&M. He went to Yale.
That's what?
Wow.
I don't
know. So that qualifies you to be president.
Yes. He's Texas-ier. Which is, that's true. That's what we always said. He's a prep boy from... back east. He wasn't a rancher or really a Texan or any, but whatever.
But also the comparison, it is a little like, I had much lower SAT scores.
Yes.
So vote for me.
I'm even stupider.
Yeah.
I'm a man of the people, the really stupid, ignorant people.
Yeah. On Fox News, Rove complained Perry is trying to contrast himself with Bush in a way that's dismissive of the former president. Now, why one would do that, I don't know. Well, Bush left office with a 22% approval rating. That could be why. He said the pattern of his sounding like he's being dismissive of the former president is not smart politics strategically or tactically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let the fight has already begun.
Mm-hmm. It's on.
It's on.
It's on. Woof, woof. Who let the dogs out? Yeah. It's me. That's why I put him in a cage on top of my car.
Have you ever seen, seriously, a person, we live in Hollywood, have you ever seen anyone that inauthentic as Mitt Romney?
Completely. He just doesn't have a real bone in his body.
I know.
It's just like, you know.
He strives toward two-dimensionality.
He's like Metatron, you know?
Metatron 2000.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Pierre Curly for Live in Studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Oh, you can say that again.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Actually, Rick Perry took it. It was government stimulus, and he took it to balance his budget. And he still managed to triple the debt. Wow! There it is! Chris, put that up on our... There's Rick Perry going to town on a corn dog. Wow! He's almost... good at that is Marcus Bachman. That's interesting.
They love that fair food.
What are you insinuating?
You gotta be at the fair and eating something.
Yeah. That's I don't understand why.
In the most obscene way possible.
Yes, yeah. Why they don't understand that looks like hardcore porn. They just can't you have handlers stand around you or something while you
it's a porn
shove
dog.
A phallic shaped object in your mouth? Okay. Derek in Boise, Idaho. Hello, Derek.
Hello. Stephanie, I am the official liberal hotel manager of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Yes.
We'll only stay at liberal hotels.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I just wanted to ease Carol's pain about Obama's stance on gay marriage.
Okay, please do that.
Well, you know.
And can I get some ice to my room?
Well, you know that the Republican field is so terrible. I think that there is. That a lot of Republican voters may just stay home in the 2012 election because of who they have at the top of the ticket. If Obama comes out and fully supports gay marriage, we all know what a gay marriage issue does to the right-wing base. It brings them out to vote. And as long as he stays a little quiet now and hints at his support...
Which he has, Derek. I think you're exactly right. He has.
He has hinted at it, but if he comes,
I mean, look
right
at DOMA.
Out,
look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, this is what he said, and he's done it already.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. But if he comes out and fully supports gay marriage, the right wing nut jobs will go crazy, and they will all come out to vote, and we'll have a president.
I think
Bachman or
right,
pizza.
Derek. I think that was the dog whistle to us saying his position is evolving. I mean, yep, you know, what
absolutely.
More of a wink do you need than to go? You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. So,
oh,
Carol,
I think
please.
You make a very good point.
See, Carol Edleifer so easily swayed. All right.
Yes. Okay.
I think that's probably true.
Here's the thing, June, that I've noticed mostly about Michelle Bachman, besides the bat crazy and all of that, is she's a congenital liar. There's no other way to spin it. She just lies repeatedly. And I don't. What was the story I just read in the LA Times yesterday? Oh, remember the farm subsidies that she took, you know, because she's this small
right.
government, you know, and so her farm has taken government subsidies for years, and she had said, oh, we don't make any money off that farm. Yesterday in the LA Times, they made money off that last year. Like, she's like, oh, that's not really our farm. We don't get any of that money. That's not. And then she just reported it on her income tax.
No, she's not very good with facts.
No.
Happy birthday, Elvis. Oh, that's the day you croaked. Sorry.
Yeah. And Marcus Bachman said he's never said that gays are barbarians and need to be disciplined, even though we have it on tape. He's like, no, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
That's not me.
No. I don't know. We don't do reparative therapy. And he said they do reparative therapy.
It was that bastard person, Christopher Guest, who said it.
But even when she's not lying, the thing I can't stand about Michelle Bachmann is we need to have compassion for gay people. It's like, don't pity me.
Yeah. I don't need your tolerance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
No, but, thank you.
Yeah, this was the, what did she call it? A sad, sick, deviant, whatever. But we should
sad
have compassion
lifestyle.
For people that have to be.
Who have that affliction.
Mm, sure.
Like the Elephant Man.
It's just, because it's big things and little things. She can't help herself. Load the liar cannon, please. This was in Politico. On her victory lap in Iowa, a straw poll winner, Representative Michelle Bachmann, paid repeated tribute to her local roots and repeatedly mentioned her family reunion that day, citing it as an excuse for her late arrival at a local party event in Waterloo. But Bachmann's mother and two cousins told Politico that she did not attend the reunion.
You're a liar. Mm. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Her spokeswoman didn't respond to two emails asking for an explanation of the disparity because she's used to her lying. And so
I've simply made the logical deduction that you are a liar.
But that's a really
odd lie. Don't
you
just hope that person that's supposed to just lose the wills to live and just returns a call before she quits? Just, yes, she lied.
Yeah.
She always does. She lies all the time.
But I've never lied about something. It was the same thing as my family reunion.
Yeah. Bachmann skipped my last party because it was Father's Day, but at least you actually did have stuff going
that's
on
right.
that you actually went to.
It was
actual family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bachmann told Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday that she was looking forward to the reunion. We're having a big family reunion today in northeastern Iowa, so I'll get to go and see all my relatives. That evening, she answered a reporter's question about why she turned up late to the Black Hawk County Republican dinner in Waterloo. It was, she said, a busy day. We had a big family reunion just north of Waterloo.
I think I see a matinee screening of Captain America.
You're a lying sack of crap.
You're a lying sack of crap.
And Elvis was there to celebrate his birthday.
Yes, I was celebrating Elvis's birthday with him at Burger King. What? Okay, Michelle Bachmann.
He's trying to let the American people think that he really does have a plan. He doesn't have a plan. He's been in office going on 3 years. He's yet to reveal a plan.
Mm. Yeah. Someone hasn't been paying attention and missed 40% of the votes in Congress. So, just saying.
Yeah.
And here's our favorite argument, Jim, on taxes.
Liz Warren, but if it wants to pay more taxes, then why didn't he just go ahead and pay more taxes?
I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Buffett, write a big check today. There's nothing you have to wait for.
Mm.
That's right, Jimmy Buffett. You're making a lot of those summer gigs. Come on, pony up.
Get that Margaritaville money, mister. Let's do it. Everybody sing with me to Elvis. Here we go.
Before we get started,
oh, you're such a
let's
dope.
All say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today. Happy birthday.
Wow, today he died.
Yeah.
He died.
We played you a little bit of Promised Land when we pulled up.
God.
You can't
Which
do
is a Bruce
better
Springsteen
than
song.
Elvis Presley. And we thought we'd celebrate his birthday.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Don't celebrate the day he fell off the toilet dead.
Okay. You are an idiot.
Oh, boy.
Cut to his family weeping. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks so much for that remembrance.
Yeah. Lisa Marie.
As we all know, that's the day that John Wayne Gacy killed Elvis on the toilet at Plymouth Rock in Florida.
At his family reunion.
The end. The biggest idiot that has ever lived in American politics. Thank you, and good night. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we continue more with Carol Leifer. We've got Right Wing World. We've got Celebrity Stack, much more. So we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, can I have my rock star cheer, please? Hello, Cleveland! I've lived my whole life to say hello, Cleveland! We welcome WABQAM 1460. Cleveland! We just started, I believe, Monday.
Wow. Cleveland rocks. I don't know if anybody has said that before, but...
Love you, Cleveland!
Can I also give a shout-out?
Yes! Cheryl Leifer is here.
Tristan, our dog walker.
Yes.
Who listens every day.
Aw. Hi, yeah. Tristan. How are you? Go! Go!
He's full of fur.
Carol has how many? Dogs?
Six
dogs. So six that's a job.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah.
It really
See,
is a job.
You're a job creator.
I'm telling you. And when I'm president, I will create jobs because I keep adopting dogs.
There you go. Thank you, Carol Leeper. Carol Leeper for president. You can see Carol Leeper live, which is a delight. September 9th, 7 p.m., Comedy Royalty at the Riverside Convention Center, all for a good cause, the Mary Roberts Pet Adoption Center. It's the annual comedy night. Go to carolleafer.com.
That's right. Go to carolleafer.com.
Fine America.
If I were president, Stephanie.
Yes, Carol Leeper.
People.
Yes.
Who throw their gum out on the street.
Uh-oh.
Death penalty.
Okay. Wow. She's like the liberal Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Fry him.
I think that is deserved. There's no way around that.
Here's can I tell you one of my pet peeves? Can
what?
I have pet peeve music, please? Because you're a dog owner. Okay,
yes.
So
pet peeve, get
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I pick up after my dogs. You know, I'm sure you do.
Yes.
So, but when I take them for a hike, so some people that don't, that's annoying.
Death penalty.
Okay. Even if there's no gum on it.
I'm strict but fair, Stephanie.
All right, thank you.
No, I
here's
never,
my pet peeve.
Yeah.
Okay, that annoying. But what's more annoying is the person that leaves the passive aggressive note with the rock on top of it. About how you should pick up after your dog.
You should pick up
because now there is poo and there is paper.
Poo and paper.
And there's a rock.
Right.
It's like scissors, paper, rock, whatever.
Paper, rock, poo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
paper.
Only making matters
thank
worse.
Thank you.
And
like, isn't like the
it
person.
Littering? I'm sorry. When I see people, this thing of spitting their sunflower seeds out of the window, do they think that the squirrels are going to build a little home with that or something? I don't get that. I always look at people and go, could you stop littering? Yeah, it's sunflower seeds. It's
you know you can disposable. Get sunflower seeds that are already shelled. You can just eat the sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. There's
but
something
maybe they
that
just
they
enjoy
love.
The,
the
work.
And
they like the, yes, the squirrel-like work of having to get to the nut.
That's right.
And then an excuse all right. to spit all over the place.
I'm just saying, my point about the pet peeve, Carol Leeper, what if the person that actually left the poo doesn't give a in
no,
the first place.
It's
so what are the
horrible.
Chances that person's going to come back and see the note and go, oh, well, now I feel bad. Now I'm going to pick all of this up.
No,
it just makes more letter.
I've never, just to begin with, I never understood that. You see your dog taking a humongous crap, and you're just the eyewitness. And we'll just leave that for everybody to see now. And step in. Lovely.
Mm. It's like the people that are proud of theirs. And you go, you have to come see this. Look what I did.
Yeah.
See?
I used to have a great day.
Send that to their
so
dogs. This is impressive. Take a look. All right. Kids, sexyliberal.com is the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Detroit, the big show with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang and I this Saturday. The venue has set up a party pack. Use the code word lefty.
I like that because I'm a lefty.
Yeah, and you get a special deal. You can bring three friends and you get your ticket free. It's like a four-pack thing, something.
Whatever.
Awesome.
Whatever.
All right, and then all the upcoming dates. Oh, we have new announcements apparently coming up. I don't know.
Which are the comp ones?
People sneak in and write things on my paper calendar, Carol Leeper, and then I'm committed, and I guess we'll have new announcements on Friday for new Sexy Nipple shows. Okay. All right. I just, I love this. It's a sort of like a future wife stack and drunk stack put into one. Police pantless woman tries to flee crash. State right. police say they're continuing to investigate a crash in which a female driver without pants tried to run away, leaving her 7-year-old daughter in the back seat. Oh, dear. The police just said the driver couldn't explain her erratic driving or lack of pants. Emergency crews found 2 bottles of liquor from her vehicle, which I think would be the reason.
That explains
for her
lack of
driving.
Pants.
I think there is an explanation for her lack of pants and erratic
that's
driving.
That's always been my reason.
Uh-huh.
For lack of pants. You know what? Right. Honestly, with drinking, because you were talking about that before, I love wine, but like hard stuff, I don't know how people.
I know. I can't either. I don't drink hard liquor.
I think every bottle of tequila should come with a digital camera attached to it, so you have some idea of what happened.
What
next
happened?
Day.
Yeah.
You have evidence. This is what happened.
It's
I became pantless.
Yeah. There's one of the rules of the Stephanie Miller Show, Chris. What are they again? Nothing good ever comes of phone calls after 3 a.m. or drinking games with brown liquor.
Well, tequila's not technically brown.
Yeah, that's true.
It's...
But it's still hard liquor. All right. And then authorities say a woman lost 3 fingers when she tried to wake her boyfriend up with fireworks left over from the 4th of July.
Oh, that's always a good idea.
No. Once again, the woman and the boyfriend, as if they had to tell police they had been drinking. So she thought that would be.
Hey, I got it.
Happy birthday, honey. Oh, my finger. Oh.
Police say the blast caused a piece of bone to become stuck in the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, that's,
oh God.
Nice.
That's a happy birthday gone awry.
That's
there.
A happy call to your maintenance man at the apartment.
Part of my thumb.
Listen.
Do I get my deposit back? All right. Marcy in Long Island on Michelle Bachman.
I'm from Long Island. Marcy, hey, where are you from?
Long Island, Stephanie. I love you guys. You're geniuses.
Thank you.
Where
thank
are you,
you
from in Long Island?
Westbury.
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to yell if you're from Long Island? What's that about?
Because it's very exciting. Do you know? No. I'm from East Williston. That's where I grew up.
Are you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I've admired you for years. You're hilarious.
Thank you, and I've admired you for minutes.
Yeah, listen,
well,
not since...
I'm about Michelle Bachman and her, you know, hating the government and taking all these government dole things and being an IRS employee, getting
right.
subsidies, getting her clinic money and FHA loan, asking for
yeah.
stimulus money.
Yes, money for her
foster children.
Pardon me?
She had 23 foster children.
Yes.
I've heard that.
Yes.
In Minnesota, the average payment per month for per child is like almost $1,800. If you add that up with 23 children, everyone who's on unemployment should become a foster parent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's her hypocrisy. I mean, she takes government money for her husband's ex-gay, pray-away-the-gay clinic.
Know.
I mean, it's just...
It's infuriating. Does
yeah.
the Tea Party know this, or do they don't get? They don't watch TV?
I don't know what the Tea Party gets, and they don't. Here's the good news, Carly, for why Bachman would not be able to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which she has said she would do.
Oh, okay.
Immediately.
Uh-huh.
New York Times report that Michelle Bachman could easily reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell if she were elected and made good on her promise. Matt Taibbi wrote a terrifying piece in Rolling Stone about how she could actually become president, that it could actually happen.
Oh, no.
That we shouldn't underestimate her.
Yeah.
Well, people said that about Reagan and
Bush.
Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It turns out, legally, they're saying, the fun facts, it would not be that hard to do, legal experts say. That's because the law repealing the ban that President Obama signed last December did not expressly order the Pentagon to allow openly gay or lesbian troops in the armed forces. Congress merely laid out a process under which the ban could be lifted. Under that process, the President, Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, blah, blah, had to certify the repeal would not undermine recruiting. You remember this whole process. Once that certification was made and sent to Congress, the Secretary of Defense then had to prepare issue regulations. That's where the process is now. The regulations being written. The ban will be lifted. What's today? September 20th. Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be bye-bye.
Yay.
But because Congress did not require the military to allow open the service, a new president could order his or her new Secretary of Defense to issue new regulations that effectively reinstate the ban. Wouldn't that be nice? This is by Igor Volsky, though. He says, I would argue there is a difference between having the authority to keep gay people out of the military and actually having the political capital to do so, particularly for a female president without military experience, to bring back the ban on open service. I love this. Bachman would have to go head-to-head with the four service chiefs, all of whom have authorized the repeal, and somehow convince the armed forces that it's even operationally possible to push service members back into the closet. This is the question I've always had. Would soldiers have to be trained to forget that some of their colleagues are gay? How would this even work operationally? Even if she does manage to repeal the repeal, the order would be immediately challenged in court, with proponents relying on the Pentagon's own study showing that service members don't mind serving alongside gay soldiers.
I'm
going to
put
blah,
the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, all of us.
Happy birthday, all of us. Yay!
And may I remind you, she's never worn the uniform.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Only the pantsuit that Marcus has picked for her.
See, they practice Don't Ask, Don't Tell every day.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't ask, Marcus doesn't tell.
Exactly. Thank you, Jim. Seamus in Washington.
Seamus.
Sorry.
Seamus.
I read that real fast. Seamus.
Seamus, not a Jew.
Hey, I've called it before.
Or a seaman.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. All right.
Number one, in regards to Tequila, yeah, that's the only time I've ever time traveled. And number two, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this whole thing. Apparently the rumor's going around, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's been more and more people talking about it, that Karl Rove is always pretty much, it's been known that he doesn't like Rick Perry very much and
right.
vice versa, that apparently he's going to do everything he can to make sure he does not win the nomination. I'm just curious about what you guys think.
Well,
about
that's
that.
Seamus. I was saying that David Bender was saying that. I mean, he already is going after Rick Perry, and I mean, you know, a lot of people think that it's because they want Jeb Bush,
in.
Right? They want Jeb Bush to get in.
Right.
Yeah, not this time, obviously. Next time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but I guess apparently the animosity goes back a long time between the Bush and the Perry camp, so.
Hey, he stole my act.
Yes.
It's like Karl Rove never really leaves.
No.
He's
just always around to supervise what's going on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, it's yeah, exactly. What is he in charge of anymore? And what the hell is Grover Norquist in charge of? He's never been elected, and yet people sign pledges to him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's in charge of drowning things in bathtubs.
Yes. Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack. Much more as we continue. Carol Leifer live in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. The best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. Carol Leifer, comedy legend, live in studio with us. And she is plucky,
Stephanie.
And she has stamina, and she's been here nearly 3 hours.
It feels like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And Julie sends this along. Steph, should you care to slap that naysaying awesome comedic legend with the Obama-specific accomplishments on LGBT rights? Here they are. Are you ready, Carol Leifer? President signed Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention Act. He signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
I know. He's done a lot of good.
Testified.
He's done a lot of good.
Domestic Partner Benefit Obligation. Department of Justice. Stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
right.
I know. I said the thing about she come out for gay marriage. The hotel manager called. He said strategically it's not a good idea. I get it. Okay.
More for gay people than any president in our history.
And yes, you can have ice in your room.
Yes, and you can have ice in your liberal hotel room. Yes, you can.
And you know, I didn't watch that pay per view, and it's on my bill. Can you take it off, please?
No, I didn't. Mamas, why would I want to watch that?
You know,
because I'm not good with the technical things. You're at the hotel remote, and you just, I just am trying to find a channel. And you're like, oh, I just ordered something. Oh, wait a minute. Oh no, I'm trying to get out of this remote, and I ordered 17.
I just sent a campaign contribution to Rick Perry.
But food for thought. Any movie you do watch on pay per view, if you fight it at a checkout, they'll take it off.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
There's a little fun tip for the day.
Okay.
How to rip off the hotel industry.
Yeah, hotel managers are.
I didn't watch
going,
that movie.
Carol.
Okay.
I think they make most of their money on porn, the hotel industry.
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yeah. Especially in Utah.
I'd heard
it's
that.
It's most popular in Utah.
Oh, golly. Yeah. Sarah Palin quit again. She quit that damn bus trip again, Jim.
Now, Sarah Palin, nobody's talking about. Hello,
Twitter
today.
From Twitter.
She's going to pop in at the last minute, and I think. She's going to be the nominee instead of that boring Mitt Romney.
Carol Leifer, you're just amateur punditry what you're doing. You're just pulling things out of your ass.
No, Stephanie, I mean it.
Sarah Palin is not going to be the nominee.
Maybe she'll eat corn dog and eat even more.
Let's just say 6 months from now. I'm going to put a note in my book. Let's revisit.
She's getting scrappy now in hour 3.
Yeah.
It brings out the scrappy in me.
She has nothing to lose now.
Yeah, after just 4 days, she heard the bus tour is she's quitting again.
She's quitting?
She said she's headed back to Alaska for the start of the school year. While the kids crack open their school books, I look forward to continuing my own writing and research on strategies and plans to help move our country forward.
Huh.
Oh, boy, I look forward to that.
Reading and writing and ringing the bells and shooting the guns.
Yeah, shooting the guns. And exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure that curriculum in Alaska for the kids is really challenging.
Yes. Well, she could homeschool. It's right. I'm writing about the history about the Paul Revere, born in the British,
and then
playing the bells.
Huh? Yeah. Happy birthday, Elvis. And
here you go.
Yeah.
Ringing a bell to warn the British about the Normandy invasion, which freed Mandela. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. With the leg of Palin's One Nation, are you going to do this someday, Carol Leifer? Are you going to take your child? Are you going to have a big colored Carol Leifer bus with a, you know, Carol pack on the side and bring your child?
I prefer African American over colored. That's right. Please, Stephanie.
Get with the program.
Yeah. You, of all people.
So she did this stupid bus tour again just to Bigfoot through Iowa for everyone else's announcement. Hi, hoy, you betcha. It's me again. Here I am eating fried butter. And now she's done again. Now she quits. Oh, God.
She's very big on quitting.
Yeah. Here's one of my favorite headlines. Fox employee Palin reportedly attacks non-Fox reporter over Fox headline. She's a little touchy.
Yeah.
You notice that? She's
what was it about?
Touchy. Let's see what the story is. Fox News employee Sarah Palin has a long history of complaining she's been victimized by what she likes to call the lamestream media. You betcha. This weekend, she set a new record in this department, attacking a Daily Caller reporter for a headline that he didn't write. Something from the Daily Caller, it's a conservative website run by Fox News contributor Tucker Carlson, wrote a story about Palin's appearance in Iowa. And she said, could I support someone like Mitt Romney? Yeah, I'm of the mind, ABO. She's quickie. Anybody but Obama. See, she's quippy like that. She writes those little
yeah. How much
ABO.
She pays $25 for those jokes.
Mm-hmm. So they reposted the story. Anyway, it looked like she was endorsing Romney when she just said whatever. So, but she calls the reporter's cell phone and begins berating him. In a very scolding manner for writing a headline. She says that she supports Romney. When he tried to say that neither he nor his editors had written such a headline, she said she didn't have time for this. She needed to go back to the real people at the state fair and hung up on him. Please and thank you. One reporter summed it up best. If Palin wants to get rid of the image of being a difficult diva with a rude streak, she needs to stop acting like a difficult diva with a rude streak. Mm-hmm. Well, seriously, who has time to call a reporter and bitch on their on his cell phone?
Yeah, she is touchy. She is very, very touchy. She had that thing with Letterman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Touchy.
Richard in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
The real walk-on candidate for the Republican Party, I believe, is General David Petraeus. Everyone else is a freak.
Mm. I haven't heard that.
No, I know, because I just said it.
Well, that's right.
I didn't hear it from anybody. I just said it.
Well, look at you.
Okay, here's the deal. They just crucified somebody who's a Mormon in Utah for a reason. It makes Mitt Romney look bad. Rick Perry says that global warming, you know, that's just a lot of hooey. And that is crazy because Texas A&M and all those Texas universities are saying it's definitely real.
Yeah.
So from my point of view,
well,
they're doing is they're giving Rick Perry a few bucks every time he makes a needle move.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later, by the way. If you thought Bush was an oil guy, Jim, woo! Wait, we look at how much money Rick Perry's taken from big oil.
I drink oil for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
He thought you were an ODing bitch.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, here it is, Jim. Rick Perry's Big Oil's $11 million man. Since his 1998 candidacy to be George Bush's lieutenant governor, he has raked in $117 million in campaign contribution. The oil and gas industry, the top contributor, Big Oil, has fueled Rick Perry's career, the top industry contributor, at almost $11 million.
And I don't want to pay no tax on that.
No.
Because that's un-American.
American. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world. Carol Leifer, live in studio with us, comedian.
Here I am.
Yay.
With you.
Yay. Keep your arms and legs inside the right-wing world at all times. Rush Limbaugh. I'm the president.
Where are all of Obama's former girlfriends?
Huh?
All of the students Obama taught who claim to have been inspired by him when he taught law at the University of Chicago?
Well, they're not on your show.
Where are all of the former classmates of Obama who can tell wonderful stories about their experience with Obama on campus or in the classroom?
See.
And they are interesting because those people haven't surfaced.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're trying
surfaced.
This again.
Perhaps he had them all killed because they knew he was a Kenyan Muslim.
Yeah.
I think pretending to...
You're not going to run into them at the TGI Fridays happy hour like where you're at, Russ.
I think we all know that Bill Clinton had them killed by the drug runners that he knew.
Sure.
They haven't surfaced.
They're trying this again. I remember getting these emails, don't you, during, you know, when this was all starting, about he has no background of any kind. It's like, what? Yes, he does. He has school records. He has... I mean, you go all the way back to the birth announcement in the paper.
Let's see the graduation certificate.
Nobody's
the real one.
Nobody's ever known him. He's
made of...
It came out of nowhere. He must create it in a petri dish.
Apparently. Yes. All right.
He was once a little green ball of clay.
Yes. Okay. Glenn Beck.
You've not told the American people the truth. Obama. And you haven't revealed yourself clearly and plainly.
Here we go.
You are fundamentally transforming the United States of America. He is fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And he is doing it with deception, bullies, and lies.
Huh?
Yeah.
Bullies?
On his side, the bullies. So the Republicans are being helpful, you see, and he's being a bully.
Well, you are fundamentally a tool. I mean, yeah. God, what
I
is
just
it
heard
these?
This word fundamentally, and I'm going to run it in the ground.
I'm going to use it a
I'm
lot.
I'm going to say it over and over again, fundamentally.
Okay, Stuart Varney on the Fox News.
If the president comes up with another plan, a big infrastructure bank, that
45
was
billion.
Stimulus plan number two, that's not going to work. The one hope for the president and his re-election, in my opinion, would be tax reform.
Oh.
Real tax reform.
Sure.
Where you get more money coming into the federal treasury because you lower tax rates and you get rid of some deductions.
Huh?
Hmm. You would bring more money
by taking less money
by
in.
Yeah. Taxing people less. That's how you bring...
Speaking as an American, I find...
It's a dreadful tax policy here. Yeah. All right. Eric Bowling on Fox Business.
Warren Buffett wrote an op-ed in the New York Times today.
Yes.
He said we should be, I think you mentioned earlier, we should be taxed more, I guess, for people who are earning a living.
Stop coddling you guys.
The ones
over
who are creating
there.
Jobs.
All you rich people on the other
you know,
side.
The job creators, tax them a little bit
creators.
More because they're not doing enough already. What is this? I mean, is he completely a socialist and he's playing into Mr. Obama's hands of, you know, tax anyone who makes money and give it to people who don't work.
Yeah.
Clearly, somebody worth $70 billion is a pure socialist. They don't believe in capitalism at all.
And job creators.
Playing into his hands? I mean, they do, you know, depict him like he's Dr. Evil.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They have to, be, you know, make him into a complete fraud if he's someone that believes that people like him should pay their fair share.
A fraud with no papers or records of any kind.
Where is he from? No one's ever heard anything about Warren Buffett. No one's ever known him. All right, Fox and Friends on Rick Perry.
Governor Perry now in the race with something significant because, as Clayton told us off camera, Gretchen will reveal this.
Okay.
You find him to be a very attractive man.
A good looking rascal.
Right. How do you that's an interesting word.
That's so interesting you come up with that word because that's exactly what President Clinton said. Well, first of all, we don't know if Governor Perry would even want to fly on Air Force One. I mean, I think he'd have to from time. Maybe he'd ride his horse around town.
Maybe.
What?
You know, there's such incisive commentary on Fox News.
What the hell
do you
was
find that as
about?
A woman offensive? Remember when they picked Dan Quayle and said, oh, women will like him because he's cute?
Yeah. Well,
look at the pretty, shiny, stupid man.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they do it with, you know, they do it with Palin, with being
he's
hot and all that. But
yeah.
Rick Perry, I, you know, he doesn't come up on the screen and...
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're not thinking, me have to have him.
Yes, I wish I were that haystack. He's pretending to. Okay, and we finish with Clayton Morris on Fox News.
Why would somebody vote for Michelle Bachmann if they're a Tea Party member, as opposed to Rick Perry, who's been a governor and who, as many people say, was Tea Party before Tea Party was cool?
Some people say.
When was Tea Party cool?
I did not get that memo.
Wow. Okay, that concludes Right Wing World. Seems like Perry is the pick of Right Wing World, isn't he? He's the great new white hope or whatever.
Whatever.
He is.
He's fresh.
He's
exciting.
Fresh.
So inviting to the tea partyers.
Noted scat singer Carol Leifer.
Yeah, do you have to pay a royalty to that?
No.
Okay.
So, we've been doing story after story. Carol, to how really extreme right? He, you know, he's to the right of Michelle Bachmann, which is, this is how far
yeah,
right.
Yeah, where is that? I don't even know that was his face.
He reveals a plan for essentially total U.S. anarchy, put a moratorium on all regulations. What's that, Jim? Yes, that's what I said. He issued
we don't
the
need no regulations.
Yeah. He issued the first policy position of his presidential campaign by asking the White House to, quote, issue a moratorium on regulations across this country. We're calling today on the President of the United States to put a moratorium on regulations across this country because the regulations, his EPA regulations, are killing jobs all across America. So,
wow.
Yeah, just let everything...
We won't get rid of them onerous traffic laws.
I think people all will drive wherever they want in any direction.
This is literally that we don't need those stinking badges. Literally, his moratorium regulations would mean an end to the rules of law in the United States.
All regulations.
Yes.
I want the right to shoot somebody in the head if I feel like it.
And you can't tell me what to do.
Okay. All right. This one. Perry proposes economically impossible state takeover of Social Security. He's made it quite clear he believes Social Security's unconstitutional Ponzi scheme. In his book, he writes, Social Security is by far the best example of a program violently tossing aside any respect for our founding principles.
You moron.
Yeah. And Madoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been involved in that.
Yeah, there's your private sector right there, Bernie Madoff.
He said, just send it to the states, let them figure out, you know, what to do with it.
Perry, you need a large pool of people contributing
to
make it work.
Yes, Perry has said before he wants to give states the option of allowing workers to opt out of Social Security.
Sure.
Elliot Spitzer asked him, so the states will let people opt out of Social Security? They should, Perry replied. As our friend Ian Millhiser has pointed out, making Social Security a state program is simply economically impossible. Yeah. A workable plan to allow states to opt out of Social Security would require draconian provisions such as a mandate that everyone must retire in the same state that they worked in, pay taxes, and otherwise workers who are too young to receive Social Security benefits would move to an opt-out state to avoid paying Social Security taxes, and then promptly move to a state with Social Security benefits the moment they became eligible. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the entire system would collapse under the weight of too many Social Security beneficiaries who had not paid into the system. Otherwise, it's a fantastic plan, Rick Perry.
Well, if you try to destroy Social Security, which he is.
Yes, that's what people are saying, unless that's your outcome. And then, yeah, exactly. Let's go through the... you read the book, Fed Up? That's his book. Here are the fun facts. You know what?
I missed that.
Yeah, let me do...
Too busy reading Snookies.
You and I are on planes a lot doing comedy, but you don't need to... Don't even take the time on this one. These are the 10 weirdest ideas in Rick Perry's Fed Up. That's the name of his book.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, weird you should use that title, Jim. Number one in obesity, many, many counties in Texas. Dead last in education, Texas. Number one in minimum wage jobs, though.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number 10. I'm not going to go through it. We just covered that. Number 10, Social Security is evil. Number 9, a private enterprise blossomed under conscription and wartime price controls.
What?
Number 8, Medicare is too expensive but must never be cut. I don't know what that is. All bank regulation is unconstitutional. Consumer financial protection is unconstitutional. Almost everything is unconstitutional. He goes into more.
The Constitution is unconstitutional.
Yeah, exactly. Federal education policy is unconstitutional. Al Gore is part of a conspiracy to deny the existence of global cooling. Number 2, not only is everything unconstitutional, activist judges are a problem. Number 1, the Civil War was caused by slave owners trampling on northern states' rights. These stances, as we pointed out, well to the right of Michelle Bachmann, who has not yet deemed Social Security unconstitutional. Okay. All right. Can I have my love music, please? You know, who better to know what women want, Carol, than Mark Sanford? Remember Governor Mark Sanford?
Oh, yes. I remember him.
Was on the...
Except maybe Mel Gibson.
Is he still with that, was it Brazilian?
Yeah,
Argentinian woman? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're still together.
Little Argentinian tale.
All right.
Trail. Sounds the same. He sat down with Piers Morgan and opened up about the extramarital affair that forced him to leave politics. He is still seeing the Argentinian woman for whom he left his wife.
Okay.
He said, you know, I didn't properly love my wife. D'ya think? I think that, you know, fundamental to a woman, I'm not trying to be a chauvinist here, is the need for security. That's not chauvinist. Whether it's emotional or financial or a nest. And if she gets that, she's happy and playful and encouraging. And if she doesn't get that, she can be some other things.
Okay. Wow.
I think he's calling his wife a biatch. Those are his... I'm not really sure why you ask him his thoughts on love, but those are his thoughts.
Yeah. No, that was... I saw part of that interview. He really... It was good, though, because he really copped to, boy, what did I do? And I really messed up, and... Here I am talking to you just because I messed up.
Because I got nothing else to do.
Not
running for nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, go, looky here. It's Jan and Amherst up the transit from Mama's hometown, Lackport. Hi, Jan.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Steph. You opened up a door, and I'm just kind of going to walk in. You just talked about how much we know about Obama and the his college transcripts.
I didn't say anything about his transcripts. We know he was the head of the Harvard Law Review. Yes.
Well, okay,
we know quite a bit about his college years.
We don't have any of those things, any of his college theses. We don't know what his record is.
Well, granted, it can't compare to Rick Perry's time as a Yell leader, like cheerleader, like George Bush was. But, you know, the head of the Harvard Law Review is fairly substantial.
Well, no, I'd just like to see something that he wrote during that time that kind of talks about what he believes, what he thinks, and all this other stuff. That's really kind of what that's all I want. If you could be so kind as to just post.
Do you have any idea the bull I wrote in my philosophy class my freshman year at USC? Who the hell cares what I thought when I was a freshman at USC?
I have Obama's doodles from Sociology 101.
Sure.
I have them in my possession. Stephanie.
Okay.
There are doodles of a socialist communistical takeover of Texas.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, the waning moments with Carol Leifer live in studio, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller
is
Show.
Is it waning where you are?
Wow, that is like magic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Well, Carol Leifer was going to be here all 3 hours, but there's a story about dogs on TV, so she won't be paying attention.
But I loved being on the Stephanie Miller Show for 3 hours. I loved it a lot.
She's losing it. She's losing it. Now.
I really had a great time, and I can't wait to come back.
She's having a brain-related event now. Carol will be here live September 9th, at 7 p.m. at the Riverside Convention Center to benefit Mary Roberts Pet Adoption Center.
Yeah, 14th Annual Comedy Night. Come on down.
CarolLeifer.com.
Have a laugh.
She's hilarious.
Help some homeless animals.
She's hilarious
please,
in person.
Won't you please?
You probably don't remember when I accosted you at the Ice House sometime in the early 1980s, and I was like, you're so great. You're my favorite comedian. I want to be.
I do remember that. And do you remember the restraining order?
Yes, I do. Indeed,
thank
I do.
Thank you.
And she gave you your one line in her sitcom.
That's right.
Memorable guest appearance.
My only
sitcom
guest appearance.
That's right.
There's always a chance I'll work in TV when Carol Leifer gets a new
show. Well, you know what? I want you to keep your fingers crossed because I have a script at Logo.
Oh, yay.
For a sitcom, a new sitcom starring me.
Awesome.
And really about my life, gay life with my partner.
Big gay life.
Big gay life.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it because, you know, I did a reading of it to sell it.
Right.
And as far as we've come, us gays, in the TV world, I cannot tell you how many networks turned it down because, you know, lead characters gay, fine supporting, but not lead. So thank you, Logo.
Yay.
Go for
Logo.
Walking the walk.
Go Logo. It's your birthday.
Yeah. So hopefully
that'd
come
be
back
awesome.
Promoting that.
Because Carol Leifer, the greatest writer in the world, as you know, started on Seinfeld and her sitcom that I loved, All Right Already, in which I said the line, Bone King. That was it. That was my line.
It's
really
on YouTube.
It's really good.
Go on YouTube and look for Stephanie.
Good. All right. Author of When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win. She's awesome. All right. Chris, what's the last soundbite we haven't played on the entire soundbite list? And this hardly ever happens.
Ron Paul.
Yes, because I am part of the media conspiracy to ignore Ron Paul. Here it is now.
Yeah, they are. I think they're frightened by us challenging the status quo and the establishment when it comes to foreign policy, monetary policy, the entitlement system.
And can I just tell Ron Paul supporters out there that I researched how many times he has been on this program?
Yes.
He has been on this program 3 times, than any other presidential candidate.
Thank you.
So we are not ignoring Ron Paul. Suck on that.
Yes, even though he is unelectable.
So only 3 times.
He is. All right.
He's good for the making pot legal part.
Yes.
And that's the rest of it he loses me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're just like when he gets going, you're like, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, dear God. Pot. I'm down. Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
Not the rest of it.
Yeah. For instance, here is a Ron Paul. He breaks with Mitt Romney and says people are individuals, not companies. Mm. You remember Mitt Romney famously last week said
corporations are people, my friend.
Oh yeah.
So is Soylent Green.
Other conservatives rushed to his defense. Rand Paul, Sarah Palin, yada yada, yes, they support the idea corporations are people. Ron Paul took a far different view. He And his own son, Rand, Ron Paul, argued that corporations are obviously not people. He said people are individuals, they're not groups, and they are not companies.
Thank you, Ron Paul.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
And I loved how he smacked down Santorum, giving him a history lesson on our relations with Iran. We've been at war with Iran since 1979. But yeah, because
well, that's what
we
I
started
said.
It in 1953 when we overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh regime.
That's true.
Regime.
That's true. Yeah, well, because I told you, Rick Santorum broke the golden Republican rule, and that is pretending that Ron Paul is invisible during debates. Not even make
not
eye contact.
He's invisible, yeah.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. Not yes. a company man.
No. we were just talking about Hillary, because I still have a dream. There's been this rumor going around that so Joe Biden has always wanted to be Secretary of State.
Yeah.
So they do a little switcheroo.
That's
and then she gets
oh, like a
that
Freaky
would be
Friday thing?
Yeah, and then she gets to be president for 8 years after that, and everybody's happy. Presumably.
I do think Obama will change his running mate.
Do you really?
I do. That's a lethal prediction right
you're just,
here.
You're, you know what? You're this punditry thing. It comes naturally to you. You're just throwing them out left and right here.
I do. And death penalty for people who throw their gum out on the floor?
Yes.
The
what
street?
Else is your
It's going to happen.
What else was your prediction this morning?
My prediction
Mitt
is...
Mitt Romney will not be the nominee.
Mitt Romney, hear it now, will not be the... Sarah Palin will be the Republican nominee.
You're really bad at this. All right. She's just making stuff up. I don't know.
I'm telling you, Stephanie, 6 months from now,
all right,
let's have a little bit of a smackdown.
All right, my friend.
See what
okay.
happened.
Former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell said Monday he doesn't believe Hillary Clinton is ready to retire from public life, and the possibility of someday becoming the first female president would probably be too much for her to resist. She said, it's just my thinking, but after she leaves and the president's first term is over, she leaves and she teaches, does something like that, and rests. I think the possibility of being president and being the first woman president in history would probably be too much for her to resist. Her life is public service. That's all she cares about. I don't think she's ready to retire.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. That being said, Ed Rendell also has a propensity for pulling things out of his ass. I'm just saying, he's been to be wrong a few times in the past as
the
well.
Amazing!
Yes. White people will never vote for Barack Obama in Pennsylvania, whatever it was he said. I don't... Something.
Oh, he said that?
Okay. You know, I think it's always good to do stories like this in this economy. Ashton Kutcher spends $9,000 a week on his trailer on the set of 2 and a Half Men.
Oh.
He
well,
comes
I don't
with
think
a
he
six,
spends that.
Comes, well, he says that he does. He's it comes with a 60-inch plasma TV, a full bedroom, 2 bathrooms, a working kitchen, a conference area, and 1,000 square feet of space on 2 floors.
That's not a trailer.
Two floors?
That's an aircraft carrier.
You can have a 2-floor trailer?
I didn't know that either.
No, that is so, that is crazy.
It's bigger than everyone's
right.
apartment in New York, I know.
For his $800,000 an episode fee. Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yes. How big was your trailer on All Right Already?
Oh, my trailer. Mm-hmm. That was the maintenance closet. It was me and a broom.
And that's the last time she
and
was
you know
ever
what?
In
and
the
I
closet.
Loved it. God damn it.
All right. Oh, Carol Leifer. All right. She's got an old nightclub on our ass. CarolLeifer.com is the website to check out all things Carol Leifer.
Yeah, come see me.
Yeah, yeah. And SexyLiberal.com for Sexy Liberal tickets for Detroit Saturday. We will see you tomorrow with Carl Frisch and David Bender on The Stephanie Miller Show.